Hey guys, I'm your host, Tara A. Devlin, and welcome to another episode of Koabana, True Japanese Scary Stories from Around the Internet. Before we get started this week, I'd like to let you all know about a special we're doing for October. For the entire month of October, all 31 days, the Koabana Patreon will be releasing a story a day on Gakko no Kaidan, or Scary School Stories. Scary school stories are one of my favorite genres, and I often hear from you guys that you enjoy them a lot as well. So, to celebrate the spookiest month of the year, you can get 31 bonus Koabana stories for just $1. You can listen to them as they come out each day, or save them up for the end of the week, and get what amounts to a bonus episode each and every week for just $1. This starts October 1st, so head over to patreon.com/TaraADevlin if you'd like to help support this podcast and get a bunch of stories to spook up your October. And don't forget, if you haven't picked up Aokigahara, the truth behind Japan's suicide forest, you can also find that on Amazon right now. For this week's episode, we're going to be looking at one of the most popular stories that was first posted 10 years ago. This epic tale sees two young men trying to hike across Japan during the summer holidays for some fun. But they end up getting dragged into something beyond even what they could have imagined. Will they make it out unscathed, or will their lives be changed for the worse, forever? Find out in Hitchhike. This took place about 7 years ago. I had graduated from university, but I hadn't yet found full-time work. I'm the type of person who isn't moved to action unless I'm driven against the wall. And I was the type of person who crammed for the tests the night before. So, I worked part-time jobs while telling myself that, somehow, it would all work out just fine in the end. Then, that year, during the middle of the summer, I was at Kazuya's house, a toxic friend of mine, and we were lazing about, just chatting. Suddenly, he suggested, "Hey, why don't we hitchhike across Japan?" And, next thing I knew, we were neck deep in plans for our trip. Before I go any further, let me introduce you to my friend. Kazuya went to the same university that I did, and I knew him from day one. Everything in his life was about women, and he tended to think more with the little guy downstairs, if you know what I mean. He was a typical playboy, but he was endlessly bright and never two-faced, so even though he had many troubles with women, he still had a lot of male friends. Amongst all of those friends, we got along the best. He was like the exact opposite to me. Up until that point, I had been rather dark and dreary. But getting back to the hitchhiking plans. I say plans, but they were really all over the place. At any rate, first we were going to take a plane to Hokkaido, and then we would hitchhike our way back home to Kyushu. In every area we passed through, we got to get together with at least one girl. The lady-loving Kazuya stated his goals for the trip. And, well, in addition to just enjoying the trip, I was looking forward to that as well. Kazuya had long hair tied up in a ponytail. At first glance, he looked like a gentleman you might see bartending at a classy bar. In reality, he worked at a club. I had good memories of going out to pick up chicks with him. And so, we put in our notice to take a long vacation. I was actually looking for another job at the time, so I quit, but Kazuya got his holidays. We bought our plane tickets to Hokkaido, and then, got together a giant backpack full of clothes, money, etc. And 3 weeks after making our plans, we were off to the airport. When we arrived in Sapporo, we had lunch and then went for a walk around the city. I don't know if it was because I wasn't used to planes or if I was just tired, but I got a hotel for the night while Kazuya disappeared into the city. He didn't return that night, and I met up with him again in the hotel lobby the next morning. He grinned, making a halo with his fingers before giving me the thumbs up. It appeared he was successful in his mission of picking a girl up. Then it was the start of our hitchhike. Neither of us had ever done it before, so we were both nervous and excited. We didn't have any detailed plans, like we needed to be in this place by this time. It was more just however far you can take us. But nobody would stop for us. We persisted for around an hour, but nobody pulled over. We were discussing how it might be easier to get people to pull over for us at night time when, an hour and a half after we started, someone finally stopped. They were going south and would be able to drop us off within the same city, and although the distance was short, it was better than nothing. We were happy with that. Our guess that it would be easier to get a ride at night was right on the money. The most common people that stopped to pick us up were long-distance truck drivers. They were able to take us a long way, and we never ran into any dodgy people, so it was the most efficient way. By the third day, we had gotten used to it, and we went to convenience stores beforehand to prepare tobacco as gifts for the truck drivers, and candy for the regular drivers to say thanks. The truck drivers were especially happy with the tobacco, and thanks to Kazuya's love of talking, even the car rides with regular people were filled with laughter. And there were a few cars with two or three girls that I honestly have a lot of good memories of. On the fourth day, we reached Honshu. We'd gotten the hang of things and were enjoying the famous local foods and once-in-a-lifetime encounters. We were having a blast. We made sure to find a public bath to bathe at least once a day, and every second night, we made sure to stay in an internet cafe to save money. There was even one time that a driver let us spend the night at their house, for which we were very thankful. But it wasn't until roughly 2 weeks had passed that we were to experience a trauma that would haunt the both of us for the rest of our lives, somewhere deep in the mountains of the Koshin area. Oh, oh, I want to lick you in the. Whenever all the boys got together, Kazuya would sing dirty songs like the one above. On this particular night, he started singing them again as well. 2.5 hours earlier, we had been dropped off at a convenience store along a worn-down national highway. But after that, we didn't see any cars. And on top of that, the humidity was making us groggy. Whether it was because of the heat or our fatigue, we started acting a little crazy. Well, this sure sucks, being dropped off at a convenience store out in the middle of nowhere. Maybe we should have pressed that driver to let us stay at their house for the night, Kazuya said. Come to think of it, the driver did mention their house was only a 10-minute drive from the convenience store. But there was no way to tell which house it was, so there was little we could do. The time was just a little after midnight. We took it in turns waving down cars and cooling off in the convenience store for 30 minutes each. We explained to the store manager what was going on and he said, "Good luck. If worse comes to worse and you can't get a lift, I'll take you back into the city myself." I was so happy to run into kind-hearted countryside folk like him. An hour and a half passed, and we were unable to get any cars to stop for us. Or rather, very few cars passed by in the first place. Kazuya seemed to find another kindred spirit in the store manager, and around the time I felt like they were getting on a little too well, a camper van pulled into the parking lot. That was the start of our unforgettable nightmare. The driver's side door opened, and a man who looked to be in his 60s got out. He looked strange, wearing a wide-brimmed cowboy hat with a suit. I was inside the convenience store as he came in. He filled his shopping basket with a large amount of bandages and then put in 2 1.5-liter bottles of cola. I was reading some magazines while he was paying for his stuff, and he stared at me the whole time. It freaked me out, so I did my best to ignore him and keep reading. Finally, he left the store. It was about time for me and Kazuya to swap anyway, so I went outside and saw he was already talking to the other guy. "Hey, he said we could get a lift." "Well then." At first I didn't like the guy very much, but when I looked closer, I saw he was just a regular, kind-looking old man. I was so tired and fatigued that I couldn't think. "Ah, he likes the outdoors, so that's why he has the hat," I managed to convince myself somehow. As soon as I got in the camper van, I realized what a mistake we'd made. Something was wrong, but even if you asked me what specifically, all I could tell you was that something was wrong. This was just my feeling, but the driver's family were there too. Of course, being that he was in a camper van, I expected other people would be inside, but there was the father, the driver, who was in his 60s or so, the mother, sitting in the passenger's seat, who looked to be in her 70s, and then there were twin sons, both of whom looked over 40. When a human sees something they don't expect, their brain shuts down for just a moment. The first thing I saw when I stepped into the car was the old twins. They were wearing the same checked shirts, same pants, same shoes, same hair, bald on top, and sitting the same way with the exact same face. Even Kazuya was at a loss for words. I mean, yeah, it's not strange that there would be twins like that out there, but seeing it actually right there before my eyes, and the strangeness of it all. It's difficult to explain. "Hurry up and sit down," the father said. And so we did, feeling as though we were about to be swallowed up by this strange family. First, we introduced ourselves to them, and while the father was driving, he told us a little about them. The mother was sitting in the passenger's seat looking forward, so it was a little difficult to tell, but there was something strange about her too. She was wearing a white summer one-piece dress that kinda looked like a wedding dress, and her face was covered entirely in white makeup, like a geisha. But even better than that was her name, Saint Josephine. Apparently the father's name was Saint George. I was speechless when it came to the twins, though. He said their names were Red and Blue. The old guy with the red face was Red, and the old guy with the blue bruises on his cheek was Blue. Who would give their children those names? Kazuya and I exchanged glances and decided to have them let us out at the earliest opportunity. They were crazy. The father and mother continued asking us questions, but we were nervous and just gave one-word answers. The twins never said a word. They continued to sit in the same position as each other and drank straight from their cola bottles at the exact same pace. When they burped at the same time, I got chills down my spine. I couldn't take it anymore. Thank you very much, but could you let us out here? We hadn't even been in the car for 15 minutes when Kazuya asked them to stop. But the father persistently refused, and the mother said some strange stuff like, "But there are bears, today and tomorrow." We tried to get up and told them it was really okay, but the father said, "At least eat dinner with us first," and showed no signs of stopping. It was already past 2 in the morning. It was no time to be eating dinner. The old twins, of course, said nothing, and instead started licking lollipops together. "We gotta get out of here, man," Kazuya whispered to me. I nodded in agreement. But the father and mother kept talking to us, leaving us no chance to talk to each other. One time, I didn't hear what the father said, and he screamed in an angry voice, "Did you hear me?" At that, the twins burst out laughing, and we knew things were getting bad. The camper van pulled off the highway and onto a mountain road, so of course, we stood up and approached the driver's seat. "I'm sorry, but really, you can let us out here. Thank you." But the father refused and wouldn't listen to us. "The preparations for dinner are already finished." The mother also refused us. "It's going to be an amazingly delicious dinner." Kazuya and I started whispering. When the time came, we were going to run. It was dangerous while the van was moving, so once it stopped, we would run. Finally, after driving along the mountain road for about 30 minutes, the car stopped in an open area with a stream. "We're here," the father said. Then we heard a noise from the door in the back of the van. We thought it was a toilet. It sounded like a child laughing. There were more people in the van? My entire body shivered. "Mamoru must be hungry as well," the mother said. Mamoru. Finally, someone in the family had a normal name. He must have been a young kid. Then the old twins, who had been silent until that point, spoke in unison, screaming in harmony. "You mustn't let Mamoru out!" "That's right, because Mamoru is weak," the mother said. The father suddenly burst out laughing. "Shit, they're insane. Full throttle." It was a word Kazuya always used for dangerous or crazy folks. We got out of the car. Looking around, we saw a man by an open fire near the river. So they had even more friends. We were starting to lose hope. He was abnormally tall, probably over 2 meters. He looked strange, wearing a 10-gallon hat and suit, just like the father. His hat was pulled down over his face, and we couldn't see his expression. The fire rising into the sky and the cross of Christ painted on the front of the van were unnerving. The man was dissecting something with a rather large knife as he hummed the Mickey Mouse Club March. Judging by the fur on the legs, it was some kind of animal. A wild boar? Or dog? Either way, it wasn't something I wanted to eat. We had planned to escape, but with this giant man and his giant knife standing before us, we soon gave up on the idea. "Well, let's sit down," the father said. The giant man put down his knife and put some seasoning into the boiling pot beside him. "I'm just gonna go pee," Kazuya said. It was a sign to run. I decided to go with him. "Hurry back," the mother said. We went past the camper van and into the trees when suddenly we heard a bang from the back of the van. There was a face stuck to the window, its forehead abnormally large, and its eyes placed too low on its face to be right. Both hands were swollen and pressed against the glass.
"Mama!"
That was it. We couldn't do it anymore. We took off running into the forest. We could hear the father and mother screaming behind us, but we had no time to hang around and find out what. "Shit, shit, 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 shit." Kazuya cursed as we ran through the forest. Both of us tripped multiple times. We just had to get back to the main road, and we ran recklessly through the trees with a small penlight in hand. But we were naive. From the open area by the stream, we could see the lights of town in the distance, but after running for a full hour, we couldn't see the lights at all. We were completely lost. Both my heart and my feet gave up, and we collapsed on the spot. "You think that horror family is still chasing us?" Kazuya asked. "If they weren't planning on eating us, they wouldn't have chased us this far. This isn't a movie, after all. They were just some weirdos." I thought I was going to wet myself over that big guy, though. "What are we going to do about our stuff?" "Luckily, we have our phones and money. It sucks, but we'll have to give up our clothes." "Man, this shit is fucked up." "Yeah." At our wit's end, the entire situation seemed absolutely hilarious. After we lay there laughing for a while, the peculiar, horrid choking smell of the forest and the darkness around us brought us back to reality. We had escaped from the strange family, but we weren't out of the woods yet. It wasn't like we were lost in Aokigahara, but several things popped into my head that might go wrong that I wanted to avoid. "Shouldn't we wait until morning? I don't believe what that old lady said before, but there could be wild dogs out here." I wanted to get out of there as soon as possible, but I was also terrified of wandering around recklessly in the dark, and maybe even ending back up at the stream. I found a fallen log to sit on, and we took a break. We chatted for a while, and then, thanks to the stress and fatigue of everything that had happened, we both started to nod off. My eyes suddenly flew open. Instinctively, I looked at my phone. It was 4 in the morning. The surroundings were vaguely dim. I looked beside me, but Kazuya wasn't there. I started to panic, but then I saw him standing behind me. "What are you doing?" I asked. "You're awake finally. Do you hear that?" He was holding a tree branch on guard, like he was waiting for something to attack. "What?" "Shh." I heard something in the distance. Whistling. the Mickey Mouse Club March. It was a sweet sound, like you might hear from a CD, but to us, it meant nothing but fear. That big guy. Yeah. He's looking for us. Once again, we took off running through the forest. Perhaps because it was getting lighter, we could see our surroundings a little better. And with the fear of tripping diminishing, we ran as fast as we could. We ran for about 20 minutes and ended up in an open area. It looked like an unused parking lot. We could vaguely see the scenery of town in the distance. We'd run a long way. "My stomach hurts," Kazuya suddenly said. He couldn't hold it in any longer. There was an old toilet in the corner of the parking lot. I also needed to go, but there was no telling when the big guy might catch up to us, so I didn't feel like going just yet. I waited outside to keep watch while Kazuya went in. "There's paper, but it's dry and crusty, and there are mosquitoes stuck to it. Ugh, it would be better if there was none," Kazuya complained as he was doing his business. Then, in a loud voice, he said, "Huh? Hey, you hear someone crying?" "What?" "I think it's coming from the girls' toilets next door. Sounds like a girl crying." I didn't notice it until Kazuya mentioned it, but there really was a girl crying in the girls' toilets. The two of us fell silent. Someone was in the girls' toilets? Why were they crying? "Hey, go and check it out. The crying's getting worse." Honestly, I didn't want to. But if there was a girl crying in an old toilet deep in the mountains, something bad must have happened. I readied myself, went inside, and called out towards the stall with the crying voice. "Excuse me, is everything okay?" There was no response. The crying continued. "I'm sorry, but are you hurt? Is everything okay?" The crying just got worse, and she didn't answer my questions at all. Then I heard the sound of a car from the road leading to the parking lot. "Come on!" I was overcome with the feeling that something bad was about to happen, so I ran out of the girls' toilets and banged on Kazuya's door. "What the hell, man?" "I can hear a car. It might be them. So hurry up and let's go." "Oh, okay." A few moments later, Kazuya came out, his face pale and zipping his jeans up. At the same time, we saw the camper van coming down the road. Shit. If we ran downhill back into the forest, the weirdo family would see us for sure. The only option we had was to hide in a blind spot behind the toilets. There was no time to worry about the girl. We exited the building and hid behind it, holding our breath. "Please don't stop. Keep going. Keep going." Hey. "Did they see us?" Kazuya muttered, his words slurring together. The sound of the campervan engine stopped in the parking lot, and then a door opened, and we heard footsteps coming towards the toilets. About 5 meters away from the toilets was a cliff, and we were standing on the only place with footing. It seemed highly unlikely that they wouldn't come around the back to see if we were there. If so, the only option left for us was to jump, and I prepared myself for it. It wasn't high enough that we would injure ourselves, so it was all we could do. "Please, just be here to use the toilets." All we could do was pray. But the girl wouldn't stop crying. What would that family do to her? I couldn't stop worrying about it. Someone went into the boys' toilets. By the sound of the voice, it was the father. Ah, that feels good. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It appeared he was just there to pee. Then we heard the sound of several footsteps entering the stalls. That had to be the old twins. They had to know the girl was there by now. The mother entered the girls' toilets and screamed, "There's no paper!" The girl was still crying. Finally, the father and the twins, probably, exited the toilets. Something was odd. They weren't reacting to the girl's voice at all. Finally, the mother came out, and the sound of their chatter faded into the distance. There was no way they didn't notice her. She was really sobbing by that point. Kazuya and I looked at each other dubiously, and then we heard the father's voice. "Let's wait. We'll be here soon." I couldn't catch what he was waiting for, and it appeared the old twins were having an argument. Before long, we heard the sound of slapping, and then the old twins were crying. What a nightmare. Why had our fun hitchhiking trip turned into this? Until that point, we'd just been frightened by the strange turn of events. But then anger started to well up inside us. You know, we could steal their van and drive back down the mountain. We could take out the old guy and the other freaks as well. This is our chance, while the big guy isn't around. When they said they were waiting, it has to be for him, Kazuya whispered, but I thought it was better to wait them out while they didn't know we were there. I was also concerned about the girl. I intended to go and open the door to check on her once they were gone. When I told Kazuya, he reluctantly agreed. Another 15 minutes passed. "Chan is here!" I couldn't hear who, the mother called out. It appeared who they were waiting for had arrived. We heard the sounds of friendly chatting, but I couldn't make it out. Then we heard footsteps coming towards the toilets again. Someone was whistling the Mickey Mouse Club March. It was him. He was casually whistling the tune while taking a piss. The cries of the girl became even more violent. Why? Why hadn't they noticed her? Before long, her cries turned into death screams and then stopped. Did something happen to her? Did they find her? But the big guy was in the boys' toilets, and there was no sign that anyone else from the family had gone in. Then the big guy and his whistling exited the toilet and faded away. I started to worry that maybe the girl was dragged out of the toilets. And without considering the danger, I looked out from behind the building, just for a second. I saw the guy in the suit and cowboy hat, and the big guy walking away. "They're here!" Suddenly the big guy screamed. I quickly pulled back. Did he see me? Kazuya gripped a tree branch tightly, ready to attack. "That's right. That's right. They were sinful," the father and mother cried. The twins laughed. "They cried out," the big guy screamed. "Yes, yes. They cried. They cried. They repented. Hallelujah." The father and mother screamed. The twins laughed again. What were they going on about? It didn't seem to be about us. Then the camper van engine started and drove away. The area was fully bright by that point. After confirming the family was actually gone, I ran into the girls' toilets. I opened the stall doors, but no one was there. All the locks were broken. What the hell? Kazuya came in behind me and tapped me on my shoulder. Hey, you realized it as well, didn't you? That girl, she was never actually there to begin with. Had we both heard an auditory hallucination? I mean, yeah, the weird family had no reaction to her voice whatsoever, sure. But could it really be a hallucination if I heard it so clearly? There was a road coming in and out of the parking lot, and if we followed it down, it should have led us back to the highway. But there was a chance we could run into the camper van again, so we decided to head back into the forest. Town didn't seem too far away, and it was light out, so our chances of getting lost were slim. We walked silently through the trees, and about 2 hours later, we safely reached the highway. But we had no clothes or luggage. The first thing that came to mind was the kind convenience store manager. It wasn't the same as in the big cities, but now that it was bright, there was more traffic on the road. After what happened to us the night before, it took all I had to summon the courage to hitchhike again, but we managed to get a lift with another truck driver. At first, he was confused about our dirty appearance, but when we explained what happened, he kindly let us climb aboard. And by explaining what happened, what I really mean is that we told him we got lost in the mountains while camping, because we weren't sure how he'd take the actual truth. The driver apparently went to that convenience store often, so he knew it well. About an hour later, we arrived back at the convenience store. The store manager already knew about the camper van, so we told him everything that happened. As we were talking, he started to look at us dubiously. Hmm? Camper van? No. You guys suddenly left the store and started walking along the highway, so I ran out to stop you. I thought you were walking because you didn't want to be a hassle to me. I chased you for about 10 meters and tried to talk to you, but you ignored me. So honestly, I felt kind of weirded out. Are you guys okay? What was he saying? That camper van had most definitely stopped at the convenience store. And the guy even bought stuff at the register. And it was the store manager who served him at the time. Another staff member was also there at the time, but they'd probably finished their shift already. Was the store manager in on it? I was gripped with anxiety. I looked over at Kazuya. If you'll excuse us for a moment, I need to go to the toilet, Kazuya said, and dragged me away. What do you think? I asked. I don't think he's lying, but supposing he is related to this in some way, just in case, why would they create such an elaborate plan? Are they all insane? I don't know, man. All right, let's do this. Let's be careful and get another lift with the guy that brought us here. I also thought that would be best. With that settled, we went to leave when we heard the sound of a toilet being flushed, soon followed by the whistling of the Mickey Mouse Club March. Thankfully, it was light this time, so rather than fear, I mostly felt anger. Kazuya felt the same. Open up, asshole! Kazuya banged loudly on the door. It opened. What is it? It was a local high school kid in uniform.
Ah, no. Sorry, my bad.
Kazuya smiled bitterly. Thankfully, no one outside the toilet seemed to have heard the fuss. We apologized to the boy and returned to the driver, who was chatting with the store manager.
We don't want to bother you, Manager-san. So, sir, would you be able to take us back to town in return for this?
Kazuya put a carton of cigarettes down on the counter, the type the driver smoked. Negotiations were completed. We didn't once think about going to the police over that strange family. It seemed so far removed from reality that we just wanted to forget about it. It was unfortunate about our bags and clothes, though. Luckily, the truck was heading towards town, and thanks to the cigarettes, the driver was in a good mood the entire way. Before we knew it, we fell asleep. When I opened my eyes, the truck was pulled over at a truck stop, and the driver had brought 3 boxes of yakisoba for us. We ate them together inside the cabin. As we got back on the road, Kazuya fell asleep again. I stayed up, looking out the window and thinking about the nightmare we'd just experienced. Who the hell were those guys? And that girl's voice in the toilets. Ah! I let out a sound without thinking as I remembered it. What's wrong? The driver asked.
Please stop the truck.
Huh?
I'm sorry, just for a moment.
You want to get out here? We're still a way off from town yet, he said, but he reluctantly agreed. At this, Kazuya woke up.
What's wrong?
Look. Kazuya was speechless when he saw what I was pointing at. That camper van was sitting in an old, ruined truck stop. There was no mistaking it. That tint, the shape, the cross on the front. But something was strange. The frame looked old and banged up, like several decades had passed. The tires were all flat and the windows broken.
I'm sorry, I'll be back in 5 minutes. Please, just wait 5 minutes for me, I said to the driver as he pulled over on the side of the road. I made my way toward the camper.
What the hell is going on? Kazuya said. That was my line. When we got closer, there was no doubt. That was the weirdo family's camper van. With the light of day and sound of cars passing by, I felt safe. And more than anything else, I wanted to know why. When I pulled on the rusty door handle, I was assaulted by a terrible odor inside the car. I looked inside.
Hey, our bags. Those are our bags,
Kazuya screamed. For sure, we left our backpacks inside the van when we ran, and they were both sitting there. But just like the rest of the car, they looked like they'd been sitting there for decades. They were old and tattered.
What the hell? Kazuya muttered.
We didn't know what was what, and it was difficult to think straight. At any rate, I just wanted to get away from that awful camper van as soon as possible.
Let's go. Let's go.
Kazuya was also scared. Just as we were about to step out, we heard a bang from the door at the back of the vehicle. The door was closed, and I didn't have the courage to open it. We were so scared that we panicked, and thinking about it now, it may have just been a cat or something that sounded similar, but what we heard coming from the back door definitely sounded like something screaming.
Mama!
We ran from the van screaming. For some reason, the driver's face was pale and worried when he saw us. He started the truck without a word. "What's wrong? Did something happen?" The driver and I both spoke at the same time. He smiled bitterly.
"No, I was probably just seeing things, but that old van, was there someone in there other than you guys?"
"No, there couldn't have been, but don't worry about it."
"I am worried about it. What did you see?"
"No, just, I felt like I saw, I don't know, a cowboy hat?
Is that what you call it?"
"Kinda like what Boy Scouts wear in Japan. It was like I saw the shadow of someone wearing that. And then, the very moment I got chills down my spine, I could hear someone whistling right by my ear."
"What kind of whistling?"
"It's a famous song, but I don't know the name. Dun 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 dun. Something like that. Don't worry about it. I'm just tired."
The driver smiled, but the tune he whistled was the Mickey Mouse Club March. We sat silently in the truck for the next 30 minutes as he drove. Then, as we approached town, there was one more thing I really wanted to ask him before we got out.
There was a mountain near the highway where you first picked us up, right?"
That one. Was there ever an accident there sometime in the past?"
"Accident? I don't think I ever heard about one. And there's not just one mountain. There are three of them connected to each other in that area."
But a long time ago, a young girl was killed in that area. You mean that?"
"Otherwise, someone gets injured by a wild boar every now and then. But that's about it. They're terrifying animals, you know. Wild boars."
"Where was the girl killed?"
"A public toilet?" Kazuya asked in my stead.
Yeah. I think that was it.
Do you know something about it?"
We thanked the driver as he dropped us off in town, and perhaps because we felt safe for the first time, that night we passed out in a hotel. The next day and the day after that, we took the bullet train all the way home. The whole thing was a nightmare I'd rather not think about. But every now and then, I still remember what happened. Just, what was that family? Were they really just a bunch of weirdos? Were they phantoms? Were they not of this world? What was that girl's voice we heard crying in the toilets? What was the meaning behind the broken-down, abandoned camper van and our old and tattered-looking bags?
"Oh, I want to lick you in the.
We went to a party just the other day, and Kazuya was in high spirits. Even now, we still hang out from time to time. Just how much did his never-ending bright personality help me out during that nightmarish trip? We're approaching 30 now, and we've both successfully found full-time work. Quite a while ago now. And we've been living normal lives. But Kazuya still can't look at camper vans. And as for me, the Mickey Mouse Club March gives me trauma every time I hear it.
Chan-na-dan, chan-na-dan, chan-na-dan-na-dan, chan-na-dan, chan-na-dan, chan-na-dan-na-dan."
At the party we went to the other day, one of the girls had that song as her ringtone. My heart tightened in my chest at the sound of it.
Even now, it feels like that family, in particular, that big guy, is gonna appear in my dreams and come for me. And that brings us to the end of this week's episode. Don't forget to check out the Koabana YouTube channel at youtube.com/koabanajapan for even more stories just like these. And if you'd like to support the show and get over 30 bonus episodes and early ad-free access right now, head over to our Patreon at patreon.com/TaraA.Devlin. Thanks, guys, and I'll see you again next time for even more Koabana, true Japanese scary stories from around the internet. Want even more scary stories? Head over to koabana.net for new translations every week. You can also join our Patreon for exclusive stories you won't find anywhere else. Head over to koabana.net now.